Continuing to share the stories that exist in the ancient discourses. And one of the more famous stories that involves the Buddha is the Buddha's encounter with Angulimala. And Angulimala was a mass murderer at the time of the Buddha. And this encounter raises all kinds of important questions about karma and retribution and punishment and the possibility for people can be reformed. How much people can leave their past behind and their terrible actions behind and start life new in a new way. How much can people be transformed and changed? And so the story of Angulimala begins with a description of him, that he was a murderous, bloody man who took to blows and striking people and killing people, and that he would kill, you know, whole villages and devastate whole territories. 10, 20, 40 men would go out after him, and he would slaughter them all. He was amazing, surprisingly strong and athletic and fast. And so one day, the Buddha went into town for his alms to receive food for the day. He finished and had his meal and put everything away. And then he started going into the forest where Angulimala was. And the villagers, the people in the road, said, "No, don't go in there. There's this terrible murderer, Angulimala. Don't go in there, he'll kill you." And the Buddha said nothing, was silent, but just kept walking. Three times people said that. "No, no, don't go in there. Angulimala's there." The Buddha silently continued walking into the forest where Angulimala was. The word Angulimala is a nickname, and Anguli means finger. And mala is a kind of like a necklace, like a rosary kind of thing, a necklace. And he was called that because he had a necklace made of the fingers of his victims. And so the Buddha goes into the forest, and he's walking along the road, and Angulimala sees the Buddha. And he says, "Wow, I am, you know, really strong and murderous and capable, and no matter how many men they send after me, I kill them all. And here comes a solitary monk." He doesn't recognize the monk as the Buddha. He just recognizes solitary monk with no weapon and walking undefended. And, "Well, this is going to be easy for me." And so he goes after the Buddha to kill him. And the Buddha just continues to walk calmly down the road. And Angulimala can't catch up to him. Okay. Angulimala starts to run, while the Buddha just calmly walks, in a slow, meditative way, perhaps. And Angulimala, who says he can, you know, he can run faster than any chariot and horse and elephants, and he's just, you know, very athletic. And he just can't catch up to the Buddha, who's just walking quietly. It's kind of like a little bit of a supernatural event. So Angulimala finally yells out, "Stop, stop," to the Buddha. The Buddha keeps walking. But the Buddha replies to Angulimala, "You should stop. I have already stopped." And Angulimala says, "These recluses, these monks, They never lie. They always speak the truth. So what does he mean? And he says, I have stopped. You should stop. And so he asked the Buddha, what do you mean by this? And the Buddha says, I have stopped fully harming any living being. But you have no restraint, and you go on just killing. And this simple statement by the Buddha, in the context of this little supernatural thing that's going on, that he can't catch the Buddha, he understands that the Buddha is talking figuratively then. The Buddha is not, you know, talking about literally stopping, that he stopped walking. He stopped the killing, the harming. And this gets the attention of Angulimala. This sees maybe the light, he sees a different way. He realizes maybe that the life he's been living is a life that is not worth living anymore. Something happens to him. And so he requests from the Buddha, he renounces his evil ways, he throws away his weapons, and asks the Buddha for ordination as a monk. And back in those days, it was quite simple. Ordination just simply meant the way it was one was ordained, the Buddha simply said, come, monk. You know, so come, now you're a monk. So it just, that's all. And so Angulimala became a monk and went to live with the Buddha in the little forest place where the Buddha and the monks lived. So that's nice. So, you know, he's been converted so simply. It's, you know, it's almost like a fairy tale that it should be that simple, someone who's so murderous. But the story goes on. And the story goes on. And one of the next things that happens is that now as a monk, Angulimala goes out for alms. And he comes across a house where a woman is giving birth, but the birth is not coming. The baby is breech or something. And he hears the screams and the struggles that are going on. And he goes back to the Buddha and tells him what he saw. And the Buddha said, go back to the woman and make a statement of truth. The baby will be born. And in ancient India, there's this idea that certain statements of truth have impact on the natural world. And they're so powerful, saying the truth. And so Buddha says, go tell this woman the truth. And tell her, give her a statement of truth and say this. Never in my life have I harmed anyone. And Angulimala is surprised by this, and he says, but I can't say that. It's not true. And the Buddha says, no, say it. Ever since you entered your life, were born in your life as a monastic, you have not killed anyone. So this kind of radical change, that it's so radical that he can actually take a stand of truth on the fact that now he doesn't harm anyone. He hasn't harmed anyone in maybe just a few days. And so he goes back and he makes a statement in the presence of the woman, and the baby gets born. I lived on the farm in Tennessee, kind of a large hippie commune that was famous for its midwives, and they have a book called The Spiritual Midwifery. So we got a lot of stories there from the midwives about the births they attended. And sometimes they would tell stories about how the baby wouldn't be born until the couple who had tension between them worked out the tension between them. They spoke the truth and cleared the air, and then the baby could come. So the story of Angulimala making this truth statement made a difference for the woman. But it's a kind of a, the whole thing is kind of a fairy tale, and it's a literary work. And what's happening here in a rhetorical way is that there's a contrast between Angulimala, who kills people, and then Angulimala, who supports or helps the birth of a new life. And Angulimala, who kills, cannot stop. There's this idea of not being able to stop. The baby's birth is stopped. And Anangulimala, in his new life as a monastic, he's able to support and help the birth of life. So it's kind of this, I think it's a rhetorical play going on in the text, this contrasting of these two things. And so the story goes on a little bit. And at some point, Anangulimala goes into town, a town where people knew about him and maybe were even impacted by him, by his murders and family members and all that. And he goes in for alms as a monk. And understandably, people are pretty angry with him, upset. And so they're throwing rocks at him and yelling at him. And some of these rocks hit his head, and he's gashed head, and he's bleeding. And he comes back to the Buddha. And the Buddha sees him bleeding, and the Buddha simply says to him, you have to endure this. This kind of pain, this kind of attack that you're receiving, you have to just endure it, bear it. If you had not become a monk and changed your life radically in this way, your punishment would have been, you would have ended up for eons and eons living in the worst of the possible hells. Just a little cut in your head is not really such a big deal. But you have to just endure it. Don't defend yourself, don't justify yourself. This is just your karma, in a sense, for what all the things you've done. And this is a surprising teaching for people to hear, this idea that there's no retribution, and he's not punished, he doesn't go to jail. The worst that can happen is he has some cuts on his bloody head. And is this really okay? Is this right? And shouldn't there be some kind of justice that requires more punishment or more impact on Anangulimala? In any case, Anangulimala at some point goes into the forest to engage on a retreat and to practice meditation. And he becomes fully awakened. And as he's fully awakened, he gives a poem, his awakening poem. And one of the interesting things about the poem is he mentions that before he got the nickname Anangulimala, his given name was Ahimsa. And Ahimsa means harmlessness, nonviolence. So he ended his life living up to his birth name. So Anangulimala, it's a story that's rich in interpretations, rich in challenges, rich in maybe as a mirror to look at our own values and beliefs and our reactions to all these stories, and you know, this fairy tale story perhaps, but still. Many people study the story and write about it, interpret it, and find it very, very valuable story. And in England, there is, or maybe was until recently, a non-profit organization called Anangulimala that was Buddhist chaplains who'd go into the prisons to minister to people in prisons in England. I think the idea being that every human being has the capacity to be reformed. Every human being has the capacity for a radical change of heart. And perhaps we can give them the opportunity to do so. So Anangulimala, Ahimsa, finger necklace, or non-harming. May all of us find the tremendous truth and value and impact on the world that a life of non-harming has. Thank you.